Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you, and of course, our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Lee, how you doing this afternoon,
man? I'm doing great. I'm excited about visiting with this guest. We've had him in here before. Interesting guy.
He is interesting. He's got a great deal going on, and I just love the topic. There is so much happening in this ecosystem. Without further ado, please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone with Raise Forum, Mr. Barry Etra. How are you, man?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me on the program again. I enjoyed it last time.
Well, a repeat.
That's impressive. We'll take that as a victory.
Now, Raise Forum, can you share with our listeners what you guys doing for folks?
Raise stands for Retention and Advanced Investment for the Southeast at Emory. And what we're trying to do is, I'm preaching the gospel to everybody I can find, if that's not too sacrilegious, about what the future of the Southeast is. Mm-hmm. And the Southeast is really, especially Atlanta, a hotbed for entrepreneurship. What we're missing are the very basic building blocks of any great ecosystem like that. The Raise Forum was formed to try to fill that gap on the funding side. Mm-hmm. If you are an early stage company and you get started and you get incubated and you get accelerated and then you get some early stage money, now you need enough money to scale and you're already in revenue. Where do you go? There hasn't been a structured forum here to do that.
So there was an ecosystem for angel investors, but there weren't anybody for the next level?
Well, there really wasn't even an ecosystem for angel investors. There's one gentleman that runs something called the Angel Lounge, where angels get together. Mm-hmm. But if you were an angel and you wanted to know where to go to find the best companies, you couldn't. You just had basically...
just pure luck.
Running around randomly, hearing it from somebody else. And I got into this by accident from the other side, from the funding side, and I realized there was no structure or anything. The companies didn't know the investors didn't know the companies. There was no way to bring them both together in the same place where they both knew that they were getting what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. So then this is kind of a matchmaking organization that kind of puts together the opportunity for investors who really have money, not want to be mm-hmm. investors, mm-hmm. with entrepreneurs who are really are doing something, not want to be entrepreneurs.
Right. And at a very specific level, because when you're early on, you're much more iffy. If you act Silicon Valley, there's much more investment in early stage. But if you want to make an investor happy, the first thing you need is to be sure that you can show them you've proven your model. Mm-hmm. And for most people, at least in this part of the world, you've proven your model. I mean, granted, there are app things where you've proven your model by getting users upon users upon users, but right. you've proven your model by selling the product and by having a customer out there.
So are you saying that one customer means you've proven it, or $1 million in revenue means you've proven it? How are you defining proven?
We decided we're not going to define it any more than that. Mm-hmm. At some point, if we have enough people beating our doors down to come to this, maybe we'll actually pick a number. But right now, if you're post-revenue or imminently post-revenue, we're happy to talk to you.
All right. So there was an event recently, and there are periodic events. I'm operating under that impression. Is that accurate?
Yeah. We had an event there. Our third forum was Friday. So it's just passed. We are now actually part of the Goya Sweata Business School schedule. Mm-hmm. We have a budget. We are in there twice a year. So we'll be running November and May. Mm-hmm. And the good news about that is, especially for companies, we get a lot of applications and we have to tell the people, you know, you're too early, but you might not be too early for the next one. Or if at worst, the one after that.
Right.
So they know, the companies now know there's always a place for them when they need $1 million to $5 million in raise where they can go.
All right. So what happens between now and May? Let's say Lee and I feel like we're at this place, we're expanding, we're going to put studios all over the country. We've got a proven model, and we feel like we're ready for that. What can or should we be doing between now and May? Or is there something?
All right. So between now and May, you want to, first of all, you want to get customers. There's nothing that speaks to people more than actually you having customers.
Right.
And revenue and growing. And so you want to do that. You want to make sure you've got a good two-page summary that goes through the basic bullet points of what you need to say to get investors interested. You're not talking to a bank now. You're not talking to somebody who knows your industry. You're talking to investors. So to go through it quickly, what's the problem? What's the solution? Why does there need to be a solution? How do you turn that into a business that makes money? How much money do you need to do that, and what's that for? A little bit about competition, a little bit about management, 3 to 5 year, very simple pro forma exit strategy. That's your two pages.
All right. And is there like an official Raise Forum template for this? Because you just rattled that off very nicely.
No, I've been around this a while. Can you see? No, there is no template for this. I do counsel some of the applicants when I see what they've got. Some of them try to cram it into one page. I was on the phone with somebody today who just tries to cram it into one page. But I spent a lot of time talking to investors, and I know what they're interested in seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they want to know that you know your stuff. They want to know that you've thought about the consequences. They want to know that you've got the team. That's the biggest thing. I mean, people will fund people who've done it before, whether or not the business model is as good as maybe some others. That's really the number one criteria.
That's how important track record and,
They will, all the investors will tell you that. I'm not sure it's 100% true, but they will all tell you that.
So now, for the entrepreneur, is there a fee to participate in this?
No, everybody, we don't charge anybody anything. At some point, my vision is when we get a rep, that we will be charging companies for a very advanced training. Right now, we do some rudimentary training on presentation, but I'd like to get them all into a very small, short, pertinent training course. So when they walk into that room, not only are they the best companies from the large pool into the small pool, but also they're the best they can be.
So pitch ready.
Pitch ready and question and answer ready. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to answer the question, why 3 years down the road do you show this? You've got to be able to answer all of those.
Mm-hmm. And then you said the investor doesn't pay either.
No. In fact, why would you make the investor pay? Think about it. You want the investors there. We are the only one of these I know of that actually qualifies investors. We actually have investors sign a sheet that says we are Southeast oriented. We are active investors.
And how do you define active?
More than once or twice a year. I've actually had arguments with some people who wanted to come, and I said, look, one specific group in town called, and I said, look, I don't think this is the perfect match for you. And he said, why? I said, well, how many investments did you look at last year? He said, 220. These are real numbers. I said, how many did you fund? He said, one. I said, I'm not sure this is a fit. I mean, I don't want to tell anybody, no, you can't come. But so that's the second part. And the third part is you have to be able to write a check for at least $250,000. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you can get to $1 million plus unless you have those qualifications already.
And then are these people typically individuals or they're organizations?
More are organizations than others. But we have a mixture of the venture groups that, I'm going to get myself in trouble here, don't act like venture. Means they're really not cherry picking to death and are active investors. The high-end angel groups, super angels, some family office money, some corporate money, and even some people are what they call fundless sponsors who go out and scout for companies and then have hedge fund monies to back them.
All right. So this is maybe a little off topic, but I'm curious, and it's my show, so I'm going to ask. Where does the person who's new to this game on the investor side get started on this? You know, Lee's made a pretty comfortable living for several years. So maybe he wants to start learning about the investor side. He's not ready for your group yet, but but there's some path for him to start learning about this and getting involved with some deals, right?
Yeah, there are places in town there where you can go to pitch. Some you have to pay, some you don't. There are a lot of incubators and accelerators in Atlanta. One of the board members, tells me that there are 81 in Atlanta.
81 incubators and accelerators?
Well, that also includes co-working space. So if you're a Rome, for example, or a Regis.
But these folks might be interested in Lee's money, or there may be some vehicle there.
I think
there
he's right. assuming I'm an entrepreneur.
Oh, okay. No, I'm talking about if Lee wants to start investing.
Yeah. So that's a place you would go to meet other investors.
Okay.
Right. And see what goes on. Atlanta Tech Village. All these places have events all the time.
For investors.
For people, anybody who wants to
both,
come.
Yeah.
They have the Tech Village has a giant meet and greet the last Monday of every month where there are 400 or 500 people there sometime. There are some pitches, a lot of young people, entrepreneurs, some investors, not as many. But there aren't really great places to meet investors. If you can say, I'm an accredited investor, which means you have to have, a net worth of either over $1 million or earn over $250,000 a year. I forget exactly how it works. There are places you can try to go to and get into. There is something called the Angel Lounge where angels do meet. I think that's by invitation only. But again, not as much here to organize. We're not...
But in some parts of the country, there is more organization around this.
Well, if you take the basic notion that, granted, many years, Head Start, Silicon Valley, New York, and Boston do 75% to 80% of all venture capital in this country.
Wow.
Half of that is Silicon Valley alone. So if you take that as a starting place, the rest of us are fighting for fourth place. But there's a lot of opportunity there. But that's what they have that we don't. Again, the senior money is there, so they can fund the companies on higher levels. They're used to investing in companies and not real estate.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is you get collaboration rather than competition. We still haven't quite learned that here. It's getting better in Atlanta, but we're trying to help people do that also. And the last part is you got to get the corporations involved. There are a couple of corporations in Atlanta that have been great. We now have this thing called The Bridge, which is a collaboration of 10 big corporations towards entrepreneurship. One corporation in particular, Cox, has been amazing. They actually brought Techstars into Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They've really done a great job. And I'm not even sure what the back end is for it, except that it's a good thing for the entire area.
So what is it that has you so motivated personally? Because you're fired up about this. I mean, I can just tell it's in your eyes glow when you talk about this stuff.
I guess I have a little bit of a consulting background. I did it for years, some not paid, then some paid. And when I first got involved in this, trying to help companies raise money outside of my specialty finance background, I could see it was chaos. And I said to myself, I can fix this. There's got to be a way to fix this. And then I realized after a while how much there is in this ecosystem here. Mm-hmm. There are tremendous, Atlanta's the number in the top five, in some places, number one entrepreneurial city in the country by many measures.
Huh.
We have college-educated workforce. We have the best airport in the world. We have amazing weather, very, very good cost of living, best of any big city I've ever seen.
Pro-business radio. Yeah. I mean, we got it all.
Right, pro-business radio. So it's all there. And so it was a matter of starting to do this, and I found an ally over at Emory, who was Charlie, who has been my partner in this since the beginning. Charlie started and sold 9 companies before he ever taught a class. And so he really understood what was out there. He's not an academic, per se,
right,
although he's now been teaching there for 12, 13, 14 years. And there were a lot of other people who were very interested in doing this, but they weren't quite sure how to do it. Emory has been helpful because the couple of people there who really believed in us in the beginning helped get us started. But I've been to my sense is I want to go from here to I want to talk to the mayor. I've been spending a lot of time talking to people at Invest Atlanta and some of the other bigger organizations because whatever happens here, it's the rising tide theory.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And eventually to Georgia. Georgia has a big disadvantage compared to, say, Tennessee or Florida because they have state funding for entrepreneurs.
Right.
And healthcare, depending on which state. We are supposed to have that. We don't have it. There were plans made, but they've sort of stalled. I think it's been at least 5 years without getting into that. So I think there is a lot we can do as a state. And as a region, nobody seems to argue, I'm sure there are people who will argue, but a lot of people are happy to have Atlanta as the hub for many reasons. It's logical in a lot of ways. So we are not just Georgia, which would have been great. We're Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North and South Carolina. And we get companies from all those states, and we've had investors from each of those states. Not all six at one time, but...
So now the raise form, what do you need more of? Do you need more investors, more entrepreneurs?
We need more. We always need more investors. We always need more entrepreneurs. We have 50-some-odd companies applying. I'd love to have 100. The bigger the pool of applicants you get, the better companies you're going to end up with at the end. It's just logical.
So when you have 50, and then you drill it down to how many?
We drill it down to about 15 or 16 semifinalists, and then we narrow it down to the 7 to 10 finalists. This last time we had 8. We're still working on that system. Emory designed a course around it. So the students actually do the preliminary selection. You know, they do the legwork and the preliminary selection. And then we meet, not we, because I wasn't part of it, but the students and the teachers and a couple of, 3 or 4 investors and entrepreneurs to give them a little guidance, real world guidance.
So take us through the, when you have your 50, I guess it's open to everybody. So you cast a wide net, I would imagine, right?
Open to everybody. Very simple application. Takes 2 minutes. Name, rank, serial number, and a 2-page summary.
And then, so now you got those 50 come in. How are they vetted from there? So these students, they're looking at it. What are they? What's a thing that'll get them to the next round? What's something that gets them booted?
I think preparedness and ability to answer all the students' questions. Obviously, if you're $2 million in revenue, you look more interesting than you are if you're 200,000 in revenue. If you have something that clearly people are clamoring for, that makes them exciting. If you can show you're well-versed and you know what you're talking about, all of that goes into that first round.
Is it like healthcare-centric, fintech-centric?
Well,
is
we have a bias towards healthcare because, Emory's innovation tends to be in healthcare. Mm-hmm. But we had almost half healthcare the first time and the second time. This last time, we only had 1 out of 8 that was healthcare. Huh. But there's a tremendous amount of healthcare innovation all through the Southeast, and there's no one forum, then there's no one place to go to. I mean, they have places you can go. There's a South Carolina Bio, Georgia Bio. In fact, Russell, who runs Georgia Bio, is on our board. They have a forum, but it's not really a funding forum. We tell everybody, we are a funding forum. We don't want to compete with anybody. We just want to augment what's here.
Right.
And all the others are showcases. So is Venture Atlanta. But so you can see a lot of companies in these places. I think we're probably more picky than those. But again, I'd like to have more companies. And it's hard to get as many as you need. We're talking to in-revenue companies that now need to go up that high.
So now when you have it, so you have 50, you start narrowing down. You said you had 8 on Friday do their kind of dog and pony show.
They do their presentation, and then there's question and answer period afterwards. And actually after that, we do something a little unique. We throw everybody out of the room but the investors, and we let them talk for a while about what they've seen and what they heard.
I like it.
And so they're in, you sequester them for a period of time.
Well, we don't sequester them. We throw everybody else out of them. Right. They get to stay.
So now they're in there, and then do they right there say, okay, I'm in here, or do they make buying decisions at that point? Or
I'm waiting
decisions?
For the day that happens. No, I don't think that'll ever happen. Once in a while, Shark Tank is not real life. That's not the way it works. It takes, I tell everybody that it's going to take a year before we know.
Okay, so then maybe it's better to then talk about the forum before this last one.
Right.
So out of the people that participated in that one, how many people decided to fund?
That's a very good question because I have a really good answer for that. Last time we had 8 also. Mm-hmm. So far, 3 of the 8 have gotten funding from the forum, which is a ridiculously it's a ridiculous thing to ever shoot for. I mean, that's so amazing in a way.
Pushing 50%, almost 50%.
No, we set a goal of 15 to 20%. I would love to be able to hit that consistently. Mm-hmm. So far, we've been able to, but that takes a lot of work and a lot of follow-up afterwards. And again, having the right companies.
Yeah, what happens in the year? Because my frame of reference for this is largely based on Shark Tank, right, to be candid with you. What happens during that year?
So somebody sees something they like, and here's my idealized situation, that I have the lead investor, the guys who invested in that company early on at the forum, and they get up at the beginning of the investor session and say, hey, we put $200,000 to these guys pre-revenue. They've hit every covenant. They've hit every sales goal. We now need another $1.5 million. We're putting in $750,000. Who's with us?
So that's your fantasy.
That's my ultimate fantasy. The fact is, unfortunately, even though somebody might know that so-and-so invested and they respect them and they know their due diligence is good, they're still going to do their own due diligence. They're still going to sit down and have a one-on-one with the companies and talk to the CEO, mm-hmm, et cetera. And they're still going to walk through. We don't set terms. We let the companies and the investors, the companies set terms. So it takes a while. We didn't know.
And this is different than the Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley, they're more apt to kind of take a flyer if somebody else they respect is already in.
Yeah. But that compresses time, it probably doesn't happen the same day.
Right. But it's a shorter time frame.
It's a shorter time frame. They're much less risk averse than we are. Mm-hmm. They will also look at earlier stage pre-revenue businesses because they're looking for the next big idea, or as they're called in slang, the next unicorn.
Right.
The next billion-dollar business. They do much more of that. But I suspect there's also, you hear about the winners, you don't hear about everybody else, which is 99.8%. There are two or three really good groups that make it much easier for the investors to get involved. The Techstars is one of them, 500 startups, which is now the granddaddy in only 3 years and change, which just opened an office in Pond City Market, is one of them. Y Combinator was the original one out on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Those are the groups that investors could look at and say, if they're in there and they've been trained, they're good. A 500 Startups, for example, this boggled my mind when I heard this. They came to present last summer at Tech Square Labs. In 3 years, they have incubated, accelerated, whatever, however many companies they have. They've gotten funding at an average, I believe they said, of $1 million for 1,600 companies.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. And I mean, you're used to hearing 10.
Right.
And 8. So that's what...
they figured something out.
Right. But Techstars is great. I went to their demo day at Tabernacle, which is unbelievably well done. And the companies had been really drilled and the pitches were great. And they had a lot of applicants. I mean, they have what I want. I have, 1,400 companies narrowed down to 12 or whatever it was. That's a, that in that case, you really know you're getting the cream of the crop.
So we almost touched on it a few moments ago, and we did kind of walk through some of the things you do want to have in place, but are there some major red flags that somebody like me might not even recognize? And boy, the minute you or one of these investors see it, you're like, nah.
Well, a lot of times, it's management. The CEO has got to be somebody that somebody wants to invest in or believes in. There's one of the best companies in town, I thought, a year or two ago, and they never got money, despite winning all the awards. Small Business of the Year, one award here, one award here, a bunch of patents, and they never got money because the CEO was the wrong person. And the CEO has to be able to look at what's going to happen and say, I'm not the guy they're going to invest in. I'm happy to be the founder. Let somebody else be the spokesperson. So that's the number one thing you hear. Yeah. Also, protection. How do you keep other people from coming into your niche? Are you solving something that people will pay money for? In a medical device or a medical, it's always, are you past FDA clearance? Are you past reimbursement clearance? Things like that. Those are the...
What about self-funded versus you did convince someone to throw in some money as an angel?
Well, if you've convinced somebody to throw in money, that's always a good thing. We actually had one self-funded company this year. But generally, you've got to be either very, very good or very, very patient to self-fund. The more recognizable the person who did the initial funding is, the better. I'm trying to think if there are any other.
So if Barry put money in it, then it's a go.
Right.
Right. Then you know it's a winner.
Right. I am 0 for however many.
All right. So we have these 8 finalists. Lee, I'd like to get them in the studio. Right? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean all at one time. I mean, yeah. That could be fun too, yeah. But I'm just saying we should pepper some of our shows with these guys.
Are they primarily B2B, B2C?
They're almost all B2B, but some of them are B2B, B2C, or B2B2C.
Mm-hmm.
5 of our 8 finalists, I believe, were local.
Mm-hmm.
One was from Tennessee, one was from Florida. One, I believe, is from Alabama. So most of them were from here, so they could get here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And there are also past finalists who are great. In fact, for the first time this year, we brought back 2 of our past finalists, one from the first forum, one from the second, so they could just tell people what their experience was, where they are now, because a lot of the investors come back.
Right.
And
so you got like an alumni group?
Yeah. Well, not a group. I'm not that efficient yet. So
now the next one's in May?
Next one will be in May.
And when do you start taking applications?
Either the end of January or the beginning of February. What we've had till now is because, again, this is new, it's been a little difficulty scheduling it properly and getting giving us enough time to do everything. So what we are now going to do is hopefully, because we know the schedule now, we will, and again, it's based around the school year because it kind of has to
that
be.
Makes sense. Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be able to start earlier, take more time getting applications, hopefully get the word out better, because it's fascinating. No matter what, how much time and how much we push people, we start getting people over
it's
and over again right after we close it out. And at some point we have to stop.
Now, with your relationship with Emory, are you getting Emory students? Are you trying to get Emory students or Emory alumni?
I'd love to get Emory alumni involved. We have a bunch of them, just kind of happened that way. We've got a pretty good relationship. There's an Emory entrepreneur network that's really good, is running events all the time. In fact, they're running one tomorrow. I can pitch. They have an Emory Medical School alumna who is a doctor, an inventor, and was on Shark Tank.
Wow. Huh.
Very smart person. And she's got an item, and she's going to talk about what she's doing. It originally was for take away the fear of needle sticks in
the
kids. Buzzy.
Right.
Yeah, we had her in studio.
Right, Amy.
Cool.
Right.
Amy, and she's now got a product called Vibracool, which is the adult version of the same thing, which takes away pain. And it works, because I bought one.
So, I'll buy anything that takes away pain.
Yeah.
Do you play with the other universities, or you're kind of Emory-centric?
Right now, it's Emory-centric, but we don't really get applicants from Emory. It would have to be a company that, say, came right out of school, right out of business school, and grew really quickly. Mm-hmm. But that would be more accidental. We did have one last time who was an Emory, and one this time, now that I think about it, who was an Emory MBA, the CEO. But that's more accidental than anything else. I wish we could say that was the pipeline. The leaders of these tend to be farther along, not just out of school.
Sure.
I'm really, as we got back to fintech, which we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
this is a fintech and internet security town. There's a lot more innovation than that here, and not many places for them to go. So our finalists are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We did have one fintech company, no security companies, but we had a medical device, and we had logistics, and we had something for a kid's toy. I mean, we get.
So now, at the end of the forum, they all get to pitch. They get all the questions get asked. Your investors kind of chat amongst themselves, and then what happens? Is there a winner, or is this then it ends there, and then hopefully down the road they can kind of connect.
Well, we don't.
Do business.
We try not to have winners or losers.
So everybody's a winner at the race forum.
Winning only gets you, it's like a pat on the back.
Right.
That's not what people are here for. I mean, I've really tried to focus on how do we get you funding.
Right.
So we tried to do whatever we can to connect people up on mm-hmm. both sides. I sent out emails and talked to people about, you know, what you like, what you didn't. We do a full page evaluation form of the forum, and we have everybody fill it out. I mean, not everybody. That's we get most everybody to fill it out.
Right.
So we can get some feedback about what we're doing, because it really is a work in progress to a large degree. I've already been in conversation with a couple of the companies, try to connect them with a couple of people there. We did take some names of people who are interested in various things. We do have breakout rooms there. This hasn't worked so well yet, but we have, once you pitch, half the groups go before lunch, half go after. At lunch, we have 4 breakout rooms for the companies that have already pitched. So if anybody wants to meet with them privately, we do the same thing at the end of the event for anybody who was in the afternoon. So we're trying to create those connections.
Right, you're trying to facilitate relationships as best you can.
Right.
Now, you have the, whatever, 50 or so that start. Do the investors kind of get that list as well, or they only get the final 8?
The investors only get the final 8. In fact, what we really do is I make the, each of the companies that presents write a 4-sentence teaser. Mm-hmm. Of who are you? What do you do? What makes you special? Where are you so far? And what do you need? We've had 25 companies in our 3-4 so far. None of them have been able to write that. The closer you are, the harder it is to really consolidate that down. Mm-hmm. So we do that, and I offer to investors, if you want to know more about any of these companies before the forum, happy to send you the information. I get very few requests. We do have a booklet for the company where we consolidate all the two-page summaries with notes, place to take notes. And we're very happy to put them directly in contact whenever that works.
But when you're in the top 50 or even the top 16... If you don't make it to the 8, then you're kind of it's all or nothing, right?
All right. So one of the things we do, and again, I took this from, I can't take credit for this. I know the Atlanta Technology Angels does this too. Anybody who applies, if you do not make the finals, you get a full page of feedback. Here's what we liked. Here's what we didn't like. Here's what we think you should improve and reapply. So we're giving people some feedback. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect. I'm still having a couple of companies that didn't get the feedback form for whatever reason. I'm chasing them down. But at least we're giving you something. The problem is, in any situation like this, and if you think about how the investor thinks about it, if they see 200 companies in a year, 100 of them never should have been in front of them in the first place. Of the other 100, probably 50 aren't terrific. They're just okay. So really only about 25% or so of who they see are even worthy of looking at. So that's why we don't give them everything. Because you get some, frankly, some companies I'm scratching my heads going, my head looking at what they did and thinking, we put very specifically post-revenue. They are pre-approval, you know.
Right. So you're trying to be a good corporate citizen in that you want to be vetting everybody, both sides of the equation,
right.
So nobody's wasting anybody's time.
Right. That's that makes a difference in general, because I know I've heard it from people, and that was one of the big problems they had with pitch fests, mm-hmm. as they were. Mm. And they're still out there, and they have a place, and I think they do some good. And there's some earlier stage ones, and there are a couple of private groups that do it. But this will get me in trouble too, but there are regional pitch fests. There's a big one in Tennessee, which they run every year, 3686. We have a local competition. There are several of them. The winners get to go this year. They went to Nashville in June, mm-hmm. and the finalists, and it's a great event. There's a lot of exposure. There are people there from Silicon Valley. I mean, it's a really good event, but the winner, I believe, gets $75,000. And that's very nice, but for the companies we're looking at, that's 2 months burn rate.
Right,
that's not helping them the way you need to help them.
Right.
And besides, that's being done. I'm trying to get the level above that.
Right.
And once you get above our level, hopefully you are big enough to be a target for private equity and bigger venture funds, because you've now, you've gotten to the point where you have enough revenue, 10 million in sales is the normal bottom, and a couple of million in EBITDA. And then they're ready to talk to you in the rest of the world. You're no longer as early as you were before.
Right. So now, if somebody wanted to learn more about the forum website for you guys?
Well, the Raise Forum, raiseforum.com, that has not a lot of detail, but I didn't want to get that granular in their website.
Right.
There's a lot of information out there on the incubator and accelerator world, and there's some more and more good ones in Atlanta, so that's good.
But if they go to raiseforum.com, they'll know the dates of the event and
right.
What's upcoming and where to submit an application if they're
right.
interested.
It's it's very simple, mm-hmm. really simple. And everything you have to do to be eligible is there.
Well, this has been a very informative conversation for me. I learned a great deal. One thing that I just had no idea about is the plural of forum is fora. So that's, did you know that?
I did not.
Sorry. Ivy League education. I don't know what to tell you.
I picked that
up. That's a public school education. That's what shows the difference.
No, this is so encouraging and exciting for me. And we want to keep tabs on your efforts out there, man. This is fantastic. We have so much opportunity here in this part of the country, and we want to do everything we can to support you.
Right. Hey, look, there are a lot of great companies in Atlanta, and a lot of them are scurrying around trying to get to the next level. And having a lot of trouble doing it, which is where this came from.
Right.
I think we are getting more investment now. I think we're getting more attention now. And eventually, I mean, we could be number four.
We can dream.
Yeah.
All right. We'll end it on that note. Keep up the good work, man. Stay connected. And in all sincerity, let's do have some of these finalists come through here.
Absolutely.
And keep us posted on your efforts out there. It might even be fun to go out and cover one of these events sometime, I think. This has been great. Thank you, Barry.
Okay. Hey, thanks for having me again. It's fun.
That's raiseforum.com for more information.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Barry Etra with Raise Forum, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on High Velocity Radio.